Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 298 co-main event, the middleweight clash between former champion Robert Whittaker and Paulo Costa. Yeah, this should be a lot of fun, this fight, especially over three rounds as well. You know, now, I think this could be quite a different fight over five rounds, and I think the way that both of these fighters would approach it, well, potentially not both of them. More so Robert Whittaker. I feel like he has to adapt more to a fight over three rounds based on the fact that Paulo Costa is going to probably be putting him under pressure a lot all the way through it. Okay, right. Quick tale of the tape. We were just discussing their nicknames as well. Both cool nicknames. Robert Whittaker. I always remember that his nickname is the Reaper, probably because the way that John Anik says it. But I always forget that Paulo Costa's the Eraser. I don't know why. I don't know. Doesn't link with him for some reason. That's beside the point. Okay, so Robert Whittaker, 25-7 is his record. 9 wins by knockout, 5 wins by submission. 3 rear naked chokes and 2 arm bars, all before the UFC. Although now we're starting to see some more grappling coming back into his game, certainly more wrestling. We can't count out some submissions finding their way back in. On the other side, Paulo Costa, 14-2, 11 knockouts and 1 rear naked choke. Not much in the height and reach on these two. Both quite small, actually, for middleweights. I mean, Rob Whittaker was formerly a welterweight, so he has come up a weight class. And of course, you know, he's very comfortable and very strong and healthy at this weight class. But they're both, you know, 6 foot and 6 foot one for Paulo Costa, 73- and 72-inch reach for Paulo Costa. So a 1-inch reach advantage for Rob Whittaker, 1-inch height advantage for Costa. But both quite short reaches for middleweights, which again, I think suits Paulo Costa because I think that's the range that he's going to be most suited at fighting Rob Whittaker at. Okay, so if I'm Paulo Costa, I've got 15 minutes. If he comes in the kind of shape that he did against Luke Rockhold, he's going to be a problem to deal with for 15 minutes. He's got nice fundamentals. He's not got a real fancy skill set. He does surprise me every now and then when he throws a spinning kick. Sometimes it looks good, other times it doesn't. Almost never does it land, but that's beside the point. He has decent technique and he moves well. I don't know if he's got the fight IQ to outthink someone like Robert Whittaker, which is where he stalled against Israel Adesanya. He had a respect for Israel Adesanya's striking, which I don't necessarily know he's going to have for Robert Whittaker. He certainly didn't have it for Marvin Vettori, and he's not really had it for anybody else. Luke Rockhold, same. He didn't have it for Rockhold at all. Walked him down, put him up against the fence, blasted him in the face with whatever was the nearest weapon. For me, Rob Whittaker would be better suited fighting at distance on this one. He stands heavy on the lead foot and he fires his jab from his hip very, very well. It's really difficult to tell when he's going to jab because I think you kind of get hypnotized by him because his face is right there and there's no guard. So he's kind of hanging over his lead leg and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, that lead hand snaps up and punches you in the face. He's very, very slick with that. And he's got great lead leg attacks as well, which I also think are going to be a key in this fight. That oblique kick to the lead leg could do a real service to hold Paulo Costa at the distance that suits Rob Whittaker better. Now, lateral movement is going to be a key because for me, Paulo Costa's got decent pressure and decent footwork when he's you know, confident that he can pressure into range without getting hurt. For whatever reason, well, maybe not for whatever reason, because it's kind of obvious. But when he fought Israel Adesanya, he didn't move into that striking range nearly as aggressively as he did do against everybody else pretty much that he fought. I mean, you can even see this on the stats. I was just kind of going through his record earlier today on UFC stats and adding up how many total strikes he's landed in his career. And it's interesting because when he gets to Israel Adesanya, there's a real drop-off, right? So in his first three fights, it was, you know, like his work rate increased, but of course, as the competition got better, he had to land a few more strikes to get the job done. So 23, 50, 49, 76. Then he jumps up. And this is a bit of a diversion, but So then he jumps up. So Yoel Romero, he landed 118 strikes. Then he fought Adesanya and he landed 12. Then he fought Marvin Vettori and he landed 172. Like, to go from 118 to 12 to 172, it really shows you how he was shut down in that fight against Adesanya. And because he gave Adesanya that respect, it gave Adesanya the space to start accumulating damage on him before Adesanya was put under any kind of great pressure. The lead leg was damaged, the jab was established, and Costa was kind of hanging on the outside and a little bit twitchy all the way through that fight. If he has the same kind of respect for Robert Whittaker, he's going to find himself in the same problems. Different weapons that he's going to be dealing with. It'll be that jab from the hip. It'll be the cross to the head kick. It'll be the oblique kick to the lead leg. But if he has confidence to push forward like he did against Romero, like he did against Rockhold and Vettori, Rob Whittaker's going to find himself under a tremendous amount of pressure for 15 minutes. Paulo Costa, like, when he came in against Marvin Vettori, of course, that was the whole thing about him coming in too heavy, and it ended up being a light heavyweight contest, and he looked kind of soft and bulky in that fight. You compare that physique to when he came in against Luke Rockhold, and he's a different beast entirely. He looked really good against Luke Rockhold, strong and fast and well conditioned. He didn't look like he'd overhydrated and piled the weight back on after the weigh-ins. That version of Paulo Costa for 15 minutes is going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at you. And Rob Whittaker might find himself, if he can't do something to hold Costa off, get that respect, either damage the lead leg or bust his nose. They're probably the two best attacks. He's going to be standing up against the fence with Costa either blasting those right kicks to his leg, his body and his head, or closer range throwing those high volume boxing combinations. And Costa does a good job searching to the body as well, which means that Whittaker can't just hang back against the fence and just cover and, think that all the shots are coming to his head. Because when Paulo Costa gets going, when he's got confidence on his side and he starts swinging, he can generate a lot of force and accumulate a lot of damage on an opponent in quite a short amount of time. I mean, particularly the Luke Rockhold fight, Luke was pretty busted up at the end of the first round. We could see Rob Whittaker in the same situation that we saw him in his last fight against Duplessis, up against the fence, taking a load of punches and just not being able to muster anything, any kind of comeback, because there's just no space. So, ideal case scenario, if I'm Rob Whittaker, right? I'm gonna fight at distance. I'm gonna use my lead hand and my lead leg, my oblique kick, my chasse kick to that lead leg, to try and damage that lead leg or damage the nose of Paulo Costa and slow that forward momentum down where Costa's enthusiastic and pressuring. Once I've started to break down his nose and break down his lead leg, that forward momentum's gonna start to die off. And there'll be a bit more space for Rob Whittaker to play with, which is where then he can start bolting on that super fast cross that he's got, which also then works to disguise his head kick, the one that he landed against Jacare, perfect example. There are a few different things that Rob Whittaker can apply once he's broached that first problem of high-pressure Paulo Costa. If he's dealing with that, then he might have to switch gears. He might have to start to wrestle. And we've seen him land that nice power double a couple of times now, driving straight through his opponent and just setting them on the canvas. It doesn't even matter if he doesn't control Costa when they land, because the process of Costa being taken down and scrambling back to his feet might be enough to A, make him hesitate pressuring and throwing volume punches because he's got to be thinking of takedown defense at the same time. And B, the exhaustion of it. Because although, yes, Paulo Costa over 15 minutes, if he comes in the condition that he was against Luke Rockhold, even with that being at altitude, he was pushing hard for the duration of the fight. He will still get tired. he has a lot of muscle mass on his frame. Like, Paulo Costa was never, ever going to make welterweight. Robert Whittaker came from welterweight, and if he really, really forced himself, although it probably wouldn't be very healthy for him at this stage in his career, he's got the frame to make welterweight. Paulo Costa would have to lose muscle mass to get down to that weight class. There's no doubt about it. And And because of that, there is a lot more muscle on his frame that he has to keep powered, keep moving, keep oxygenated. So if I'm Rob Whittaker, I'm using the advantage of myself being smaller and faster and keeping that hustle on Paulo Costa. I'm going to try and make him tired in that first round. I'm not going to do anything to put myself to too much risk, which is why I'm not going to open up too much. If I'm Rob Whittaker, I'm going to destroy that lead leg and I'm going to destroy his nose with my stinging jab. From that point, if I need to, I can wrestle and I can force him to work that way, especially with a busted nose. Paulo Costa's then hustling back to his feet, breathing out of his mouth. That makes it a lot easier for Rob Whittaker to start putting that right hand and that right kick on the end. If I'm Paulo Costa, I want to manage that distance with that confident pressure that we've seen against Rockhold and Vettori, where he's in that pocket, where he can unleash that power right kick to any of three targets on the body, that lead leg, the body, the near side ribs, which would be on Rob Whittaker as an orthodox, or even just coming straight up to the head. Like, even if Whittaker's defending this, blocking it on his arm, blocking it on his shoulder, on his bicep, it's going to slow down that lead hand, that jab. So there's a dual benefit in Paulo Costa just being ferocious with that kick. And, you know, the amount of times he threw it against Marvin Vettori as a light heavyweight, over 25 minutes, I have to think that a Paulo Costa that's conditioned, that's not fighting at altitude, that's only fighting over 15 minutes, is going to be able to keep throwing that kick over and over again. And it doesn't really matter what it's landing on. What else? I mean, Paulo Costa did get his nose damaged against Romero. If I'm Rob Whittaker, that was the point where I see Paulo Costa start to slow down when he struggles with his breathing. He tends to maintain his ability to punch even into the later rounds, no matter what weight he's at, really. But when his nose was busted, when his leg was beaten up against Adesanya, that certainly changed his enthusiasm for the fight. What else? Oh, I did the tail of the tape top end, didn't I? I haven't done the rest of the stats. What I did do though is I went in and I figured out what their knockdown ratio is. So Rob Whittaker's credited with 7 knockdowns over his UFC career with 1,135 strikes landed. So that's 1 knockdown per 162 strikes. Costa pretty close, to be honest. Less strikes landed, less knockdowns. 4 knockdowns, 606 strikes, but 1 knockdown per 151 strikes. So these guys, you know, they've got high volume. They throw a lot, and they've got decent power as well. But it's volume that gets the job done on Paulo Costa's side. It's more precision on Rob Whittaker's side. You can see that with the strikes landed per minute, because they are slightly lower for Rob Whittaker. So Whittaker's at 4.47, Paulo Costa's at 6.5. It is very much the volume that favours Paulo Costa when it comes to his effectiveness in striking. He's not always necessarily picking his shots, but he is trained well. Yeah, that is something that you can clearly see in his game. The way that he moves, his technique, you can see that he's trained well, and you can see that he has that built-in variance of let me go to the body, let me come back to the head, let me move out, let me throw a hard kick. You know what I mean? He's got whoever's been coaching him on tie pads looks like they've done a really good job of building those sequences into his central nervous system. Because when he's tired, when he's, you know, excitable, doesn't matter, he tends to flow through those combinations quite well. Although it does seem a lot more like their presets compared to Whittaker, who seems to be more of a thinking fighter. He seems to be able to put his opponent on the end of things. So that's why, for me, his striking output is slightly lower. What else? See, the striking accuracy is an interesting one. So Costa's at 60%. Rob Whittaker's at 42%. And the reason for that most likely is because Rob Whittaker throws a lot of feints. He uses a lot of strike-looking setups to land something else. And the other thing to consider is Paulo Costa generally is landing his strikes in high volume at a close range, where he's landing, a lot more volume, because they're much easier to hit. Rob Whittaker striking defense, of course, that falls in his favor at 60%, even with the volume of high-level fights that he's had in his record. Still very impressive, as well as 82% takedown defense. I don't think either of these guys are going to be particularly easy to take down. I think Rob Whittaker will most likely be the one that initiates the takedown. Like, Paulo Costa had a lovely single leg against Rockhold first round. Just ran the pipe real nice, super slick. But I also think there was a bit of a surprise element there that worked in Paulo Costa's favour, because Rockhold was probably just not expecting for Costa to want to grapple with him. I feel like Whittaker will be able to destabilise and take down Paulo Costa if he has the right timing on his takedown attempts. But I also feel like Paulo Costa is going to be able to most likely scramble back to his feet quite easily and quite quickly. But like I said, it's water in the basement, as Teddy Atlas would say. You damage the leg, you bust the nose, you force them to work, make them tired, you know. This is a three-round fight, which is why Rob Whittaker's probably got to start a bit faster than he would be comfortable with. But, you know, having the experience that he does, I think he's probably already made that calculation and he'll be ready for a fast-paced 15 minutes against a Paulo Costa that's going to be trying to prove himself because he's been out for a little while. What else? I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I don't really expect us to see too many submission attempts. Like I said, at some point, I do think Rob Whittaker will start to add submissions back into his game now he started to establish his wrestling. But I don't necessarily think this is the right fight to do it, unless he's got Paulo Costa really tired or really hurt. And for Paulo Costa, I mean, don't be surprised if he tries to snatch a neck or something while he's up against the fence. But ultimately, he's going to want to be able to create space and put Rob Whittaker up against the fence where he can work on him like a heavy bag. And that's the range where Rob Whittaker needs to get inside of with his wrestling or outside of with his footwork and his counter-striking. But I'm looking forward to this. And I've done one for the main event, and we've got a picks podcast, which we're just about to record, so make sure you check that out as well. Like and subscribe if you feel like it. We very much appreciate it. I hope you enjoy these fights, and I will see you next time.